hat because the sun is going to come and hit me in the face. So, humor me. I'm sorry? It's a good Jewish tradition. Okay. Not exactly like this. This is more of a what we call a petasos, a Greek hat with a big brim. Okay. Now, wait just a second here. Let's see if I can. Now, let's see if technology is as good as it's become. Does that come through? Do you hear it? I thought it was nice. I didn't know you could do stuff like that. And Liz said, just go online and you probably find the song. And there it was. And I think it fits what I would like to share today. I've had this on my heart for, 3 weeks. I've been looking forward to sharing this. It's a message that's both sobering and triumphant. Shocking and encouraging. Maybe. We'll see. Anyway, maybe the Lord will speak to you, and hopefully somewhere between those extremes. Three weeks ago, I heard that Chuck Smith went to be with the Lord. And that hit hard. I'll share a little bit why in a minute. You know somebody meant something in your life when you feel grief, when you hear of something happening to them. And, I remember, Chuck I knew. I didn't get to spend time and know him the way I would have liked, but he still made a big impression because I knew him at the beginning of my Christian walk. Other people I've never met, and even for them I've felt grief. I remember when I heard that Johnny Cash went to be with the Lord. Ooh, that hurt. Maybe some of you don't even know who Johnny Cash is or was, but in any case, I felt grief. Johnny's not with us. And I think he even made an impression on musicians in the music industry that don't know the Lord. They felt grief at his passing. So there are people that when they pass, you just feel grief because they've had such an influence and a meaning in your life. And we just heard the Parashat HaShavua, Haye Sara. Very fitting in a sense for what we're talking about here at the very introduction. Wait till you hear the rest. But before we do, I want to share a scripture. It was already picked, but somebody went and chose Hebrews 11 today anyway. Well, Hebrews 11, 32. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak, Shimshon and Yiftah, about David and Shmuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they may gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. And they were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Wow, think of that. That was quite a list of things that many of us have not seen or been part of at all. And some of us have had a glimpse of one or another of that long list of items. But we have something better. Imagine that. We're gathered here in the year 2013 as followers of Jesus Christ, and we have something better because Jesus brought something into the world that is beyond everything you just read about. Power is powerful, but goodness trumps it, and forgiveness and love trump all of that. And Jesus inaugurated something new. Well, let's say he caused something to blossom. It wasn't new. That's what 1 John says. I give you a new commandment. Well, actually, it's an old commandment. Anyway, let me finish now. We have something better. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. A great cloud of witnesses. Now that's glorious. These are the witnesses here, but we have a cloud of witnesses as well. Chuck Smith has now joined that cloud of witnesses. And lest any of you forget, we are all going to join the cloud of witnesses too. We don't know when, some sooner, some later. And I guess what I'm hoping this message will be is an encouragement that we would all look at our whole life as a testimony, and that when we join and we finally pass on our testimony, our life, that we would join that cloud of witnesses to add a bright spot to the cloud of witnesses. Some add little gray spots to the cloud of witnesses, and that's why we need to be diligent in running this race, so that we would be a bright spot, that our testimony, just a dot amongst in this huge cloud of witnesses, but a dot, a bright spot. I'm going to tie this into Bible verses, and some of you know there's a 9:45. Is that close? Close enough. There's a 9:45 Bible study in the last couple weeks. I did something on faith that lines up with this a little bit. We talked about Luke 17:6, about throwing the having a sycamore fig tree plucked up and planted in the sea, and we showed how some of the wording of that was remarkable. It looks like it's coming out of Hebrew, and without Luke knowing it, couldn't even have been duplicated in Greek if he had wanted to say what the other synoptic gospels say. Anyway, that's a technical discussion. Sometimes we do get technical at 9:45. Another one was Genesis 15:6, and this one relates exactly to what we're talking about today, because in Genesis 15:6, that should be very famous for all of us in as readers of the New Testament. Ve'emin b'shem v'yachsheveha lo tzedaka, and he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, I just quoted it in a standard English translation, which is based on the Greek. But if you'd come to the Bible study, you would have found out that ve'emin, if you get biblical Hebrew inside you, as soon as you hear ve'emin, the door is open. Your faith isn't closed off. It's not Abraham believed in the Lord. It's Abraham was believing. It doesn't tell you when he started believing or when he ended believing. Ve'emin, and he was believing in the Lord, and God counted it as righteousness. Abraham had a faith walk. He had his whole life. He had a whole trajectory. His testimony as the father of faith that comes to us is a testimony that comes from a whole walk. Now, if you want to read more about that, I've got a blog dealing with this open-ended walk of faith that Abraham had. Biblical Language Center spelled with American, C-E-N-T-E-R, biblicallanguagecenter.com. And then find a blog, and you'll find a faith that grows. Because that's not the message here today, but it's related, it's background, and it's very encouraging to study and ponder things like that. And it also reinforces what, you know, my little piece of ministry of the kingdom, you might say, is to call some people to a living contact with our source texts, with our Hebrew Bible and our Greek Testament. So that might encourage you to go that way. Okay. Anyway, we're going to look at some lives today, and we're going to start thinking about what does this mean to have a lifelong testimony. And we're going to see both some good things and some negative things, because you learn from negative things as well. I'll start with Chuck, because I'd like to start on a good note, but this won't just be a hagiology or a hagiographa. It will be looking and learning from both sides of testimonies. I went online and found out that tomorrow, the 27th of October, they're going to have a large memorial service for Chuck Smith in Southern California. They've rented some place in Anaheim that seats 18,000, so I guess they're expecting a large turnout. And I would be there if I could, but I'm here. Anyway, Greg Laurie will be one of the speakers, a head speaker, but some other ones here. Raul Reese will be there and speaking. Love Song, some of you might have remembered Love Song from the end of the 60s, beginning of the 70s. They'll be there, some others will be there. It'll be pretty nice. I did get a couple quotes from Greg Laurie that I'd like to share, because I think it will help us picture some of Chuck's character. A few years ago, I'm quoting Greg Laurie, I had lunch with Pastor Chuck and asked him the question, if an older Chuck could speak to a younger Chuck, what would he say? In other words, what words of advice would he give a younger man about life and ministry? And Chuck thought about it for a moment, and then he replied, hold the course. Now, stay true. Hold the course. Ah, Chuck has now finished the course he ran for so many years. I trust the Lord has already said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." When asked about how Smith's followers would move forward in their lives now that the highly respected pastor is no longer leading the Calvary Chapel movement, Laurie answered, "I think that Chuck impacted so many, many lives over the years. Some of those early Jesus people did not hold the course in their spiritual life. I think the greatest tribute we could pay to Chuck is to get back to that close relationship with God that he so treasured." That's a nice legacy. I did get to meet him because I came to the Lord in 69 and was down in the Costa Mesa, Newport, Laguna area. One of the guys that witnessed to me on the beach, long-haired kid. I say kid now looking back because I were one then. Lonnie Frisbee, some of you know him. And when I started following the Lord, I was looking for some guidance and help, went and found this guy that had witnessed to me, and he ended up taking me over to Calvary Chapel for worship services. There were Bible studies every night of the week. You name it, we were off someplace studying the Bible, reading the Bible day in, day out, witnessing on the streets. It was a pretty glorious time, pretty remarkable time. And that was where I got to meet Chuck Smith, because he was the pastor of the church on Sunday morning, and one of those nights of the week he had a Bible study and was leading that. And so it was a wonderful time of growth. And not everything Chuck did was perfect, and it didn't even stumble me to find that out. The good exuded from him, the desire to follow the Lord became the overriding witness. Yes, he thought the world was going to end, and sometimes in the media they made fun of him because he thought, well, if it doesn't end by the 70s, there's no way we're getting through the 80s. Well, now it's 2013 and everybody likes to ha-ha Chuck for that. Well, he's human. And he even said so. He said, but when he would be confronted, he would say, but I do have one thing on you. He says, we're 1 year closer. And he's right. Once he even made a grammar mistake. Imagine that in front of me. I had gone off and was studying Greek and Hebrew, and I remember once someone had asked him a question about the ending of the gifts of the Spirit. And there's this famous passage in Corinthians 13, when the perfect comes. And so he said, well, they tell me it's neuter, but it's not. It's masculine. When Jesus comes, it's over. And well, you know, his Greek wasn't right, but his heart was right. It is referring to when Jesus comes, but Paul did talk about that as an abstract, neuter thing. So I even forgave him 42 years ago when I heard that. Okay. Anyway, so let's go on. I thought I wanted to take this time to look at testimonies, life trajectories, because we have all been affected by them. Chuck Smith, one of the first things he did in his ministry, he was a campaign manager for Paul Kane. Has anybody know Paul Kane? Okay, one, two, three. Personally? Personally, look at that. Wow. Okay, I've never met him. I've heard the name, but it was kind of before my time, and I've been out of the States most of my years. Anyway, Paul Kane was an evangelist. I believe he had a prophetic and a healing ministry, yes? Word of knowledge, yes. Okay. But he also, I don't have that quote here, so I'll just do it by memory. About a decade ago, he was called on the carpet and at first denied and then came out in a full confession and said, yes, I have had some gross sin in my life and I am coming clean totally. He said, I'm even writing a book about the rise and fall of some of the giants in the service of the Lord. He was going to include William Branham. I'll get to him in a minute. A.A. Allen, and I'll get to him in a minute, maybe. But then he said, I never thought I would be included. Sad. Anyway, he withdrew from ministry, went into alcoholism treatment, and he is taking to heart and trying to change his life. But he still has a great testimony, but it does have some tarnish on it that is very unfortunate. And there have been many unfortunate examples, but there's also many good examples. And whether good or bad, they all help us in our walk. I mentioned William Branham. Okay, I should maybe... Who's heard of William Branham here? Wow. More people have heard. Okay. But not a lot. Anyway, he was also a word of knowledge person. As one person I remember talking about him, he heard it in the ear. Thus saith the Lord. Or as I think I've heard you talk about him, as he read your mail. anyway, but he also appears maybe to have been spinning out of orbit. In any case, he got killed very tragically, abruptly, by a car coming in the wrong lane of traffic and just put an end to his life in 65. I'm going to read the dates here. Just this, I think, for me it's been helpful as I've been going through and looking at these people. I like to get this picture of a whole trajectory. So Chuck Smith, 25 June 1927 to 3rd of October 2013. Paul Kane, born 1929, still with us in this world. William Branham, 1909 to December 24th, 1965. So he was young. And it was a shock to many people. Now, back in the 50s, when some of this was happening, there were other mercurial rises to fame or to, I don't know what you'd call it. What? Promise? Prominence. Thank you. Prominence. Who's heard of Jack Coe? 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow. Look at that. People. Anyway, he died in 1956, so I don't expect many to have heard of him. But listen to his dates. 1918, 1956. Now, he was a healing evangelist. He got in trouble and had a court case because he had told a polio victim to throw away his leg braces. And there was some kind of a court case back in 1955. I think he got acquitted. I don't remember. I didn't check in the details. But what was shocking is the next year he got polio himself and died. Now, that was a blow. That was a shock. That is not what you expect of someone with a healing ministry. And that's going to shake people's faith. So I'm sharing these trajectories so that our faith will be walking on the ground that won't be shaken, so that we can have a trajectory and a testimony that will be a point of light in this cloud of witnesses. Okay, let's go to some people that I'm sure you've heard of. William Franklin Billy Graham Jr. Yes, it's that Billy Graham. Born 7 November 1918. still alive. I did hear something last week, I guess it was in the news a month ago, that he had said, with Nixon, had said some things that at least sounded despicable as they were recorded, and he came out and said, "I don't remember saying that, but I apologize, I repent. You know, those words have nothing to do with me or my ministry. I accept that." He has been a sterling example for, about 60 years. I think he started his evangelistic ministry right around 1950, early 50s. I know he came to L.A. and in the Los Angeles area, and some newspapers played up his visit to town, and things snowballed. The next thing you knew, everyone in the world had heard of Billy Graham, the evangelist. And Billy Graham has been a sterling testimony now for 60 years. Some more clouds of witnesses. John Graham Lake, 1870-1935. Maybe some of you know him. I'll skip for time's sake. John Alexander Dowie, 1847-1907. Scottish evangelist, faith healer, ministered in Australia, United States. He founded Zion, Illinois. I was hoping Richard Brogdon would be here because he would probably feel personal affirmation to hear such a person. Again, controversial person, but a man of God. Amy Semple McPherson, 1890-1944, another controversial person. Short life, accidental overdose of medication, 1944. Again, a sobering and shocking. Now, I'm going to get to a few that I've known, so that'll bring it back into a more personal, and we will end on a positive note. James Gordon Lindsay, 1906 to 1st of April, 1973. And I got to meet him around December 1972, or the first week of 1973. So 3 months before... 3 months before he went to be with the Lord, I got to sit in their new auditorium. I was visiting Dallas, Texas, so I went in there to visit these people. I met Robert Lindsay's son, David, there. Yes. Not at that time. I met him 8 months later. But in January of 1973, I was there at Christ for the Nations. And so I got to hear this man. And he had been a strong evangelist and had a healing ministry, wrote a lot of books, and wanted to set up a school for training of Christians. He used to say that by faith we get 70 years. If God gives us more, great. But at least by faith you can claim 70. Well, that's always very encouraging, especially when you're in your 20s. Yes, I'll claim that. Well, 3 months later he went to be with the Lord, and he was 66. Oh dear, how do you explain that? So that becomes a bit of a blow. You know, you're young, reasonably young in faith, and this kind of thing happens. You're going, Lord, what was that? And so when I was back through Dallas about 8 months later, I remember asking some people, and they said, oh, well, we had it explained. You see, he had written the drafts for another, 15 booklets or something. So they figured that he had 5 years of work already stored up for publishing. So you see, he had over 70 years. I'm going, well, you know, if that comforts you, great. But just maybe the way the Lord looks at things and the way a Christian is supposed to walk their life is a little different than that claim. In case there's any doubt, I do believe that it's different. Yes, the Lord gives us 70 by reason of strength, 80 years, maybe 90, maybe 120. But there are no guarantees. We're in the Lord's hands. Done. That's what faith is. So that's how we're supposed to live. And yes, 70 is a good year. 80, 90. But we walk day by day. Now, I've got four more names, so I better go quickly. Lonnie Frisbee, I've already mentioned, 1949 to 1993. Did God use him? Remarkably. He was the hippie preacher that was on Time and Look and Life magazine back in 1971, where there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people down at Corona Del Mar in the bay there with a mass baptism. He was the guy that met Chuck Smith back in 1968 and said, well, the Lord sent him back to Southern California to preach. Saved him up in San Francisco, sent him down. And their ministry, Chuck providing the Bible teaching and the wisdom to not be pulled off into all manners of craziness, Chuck provided the biblical foundation and wisdom. Lonnie was really the evangelist and miracle worker. There's a movie out, and they're trying to show how Lonnie was a fallen person because of his homosexual tendencies. And the answer is yes, he was a fallen person. But even while that was the theme of the movie, the testimonies, they're going, you know, did you know Lonnie? Yes. Can you tell us whatever any experiences you had while you were with Lonnie? And these people start relating things that happened, and it blows you away. God was at work through this uneducated, converted hippie. I knew him when he was married, and he was, I guess, married for about 6 years, but it broke up, and I guess things from his earlier life then culminated in later times where he fell in sin, ended up catching AIDS, and died. Let's see, I can calculate it. He was 43, so cut very short. And I do remember hearing the sermon. Chuck Smith preached it, and some people gave Chuck Smith flack for saying this, but he said, you know, he was like a Samson. Lonnie was like a Samson. Did things that no one else did. Things happened through him that didn't happen with anyone else. And the Jesus movement really ignited through the Calvary Chapel movement. If you had to put your finger and point to one place where it hit with the most force, you would point to that little church in Costa Mesa where Lonnie was the youth pastor. And if the Jesus movement wasn't enough, about 10 years later, this whole thing happened again with the Vineyard movement. They invited Lonnie to give a youth ministry service one night, and as I hear it, next thing that happened, he just ended and stopped, raised his hand and said, Holy Spirit, come. And the whole room collapsed to the floor. Chairs crashed. Bedlam arose. The elders didn't know what to do. microphones got knocked on the floor and feedback and, you know, next day they haul him in. What happened? What are you doing? I didn't do nothing. And what happened out of that was what became the Vineyard Movement. And he became one of the main workers within the Vineyard Movement. So, totally remarkable life, but also flawed. Very, you know, he had problems. He's the guy that witnessed to me on the beach. He saw me, walked over. Well, he witnessed to me once one place, and so I even knew who he was 2 months later because I remembered that he'd witnessed to me, and he was walking down the Pacific Coast Highway once, and there were 100 people on the sidewalk. Why did he walk up to me? I don't know. He sees me on the side and beeline straight for me. And I'm thinking, oh, no, not him. I know who you are. He walks over to me, and he says, the Lord has a word for you. And he opens up the Gospel of John and starts reading the beginning of the Gospel of John to me. And I was listening. And I thought it was far out. Because it starts off, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I already knew that. I wasn't thinking along his lines at all. Because back in the 60s, you have to understand the worldview. It's still around, by the way, but people that were at the beach with long hair, the Word wasn't the Logos or Jesus. The Word was Om, and everything that was God. And so here's this gospel, and in my ears it started off saying, okay, we know that everything is God, but it became man, and he dwelt among men and had a ministry. And I'm thinking, my goodness, that's crazy. Wow. Wonder what in the world this means. Well, 6 months later, I accepted the Lord. But he was the guy that witnessed to me twice like that, and that definitely burned a memory in my life. So I, after accepting the Lord, looked around at all these churches, and I even saw some, and they'd be wearing all white with little skinny ties on a Sunday morning, and I'm thinking, wow, what's that about? Didn't make a whole lot of sense. I said, you know, I'm going to go find that guy. And Lonnie was easy to track down. That was one thing. I decided one morning to go looking for him, and I had found him by 5 o'clock that night. And so then again, like I said, he then introduced me to the Calvary Chapel Network Fellowship there. And so for a few months, I was being discipleship trained by Calvary Chapel. It was a good start. Anyway, right before I got to meet Gordon Lindsay, another person turned out to be a Hebrew scholar. There was a guy named Hobart Freeman. 1920, 1984, 64 years the Lord gave him on this earth. He was a Hebrew scholar and preaching a faith ministry, and I had relatives back in Illinois, so back in 1972, when I was swinging through Illinois on our way to Dallas for this time when I was working with Bible translation and we were on our way to Mexico, well, Illinois was just it's like a couple hours drive over to the Glory Barn where Freeman was ministering. So we went and met some of the folk and got to meet Dr. Freeman, threw questions at him, was bothered a little bit by a kind of a stiffness in the way he dealt with everything, but I was young, I was learning, and his movement got in a lot of trouble, again, because he was teaching people to throw away their medicines, and they had people die on them. And so then there's court cases. And he himself had a heart condition and had had a heart attack, at least one, before he was a faith teacher, where he was hauled away in an ambulance, and we don't know how many others he might have endured, you know, privately. But in 84, he finally had a massive heart attack and died. And that was tragic. I see his ministry as flawed because I don't think it was the full scriptural revelation when David attacks a band in the name of the Lord. That doesn't mean he didn't have a sword in his hand. He did have a sword in his hand. He did fight. But he did it in faith. So I join the majority, the 99.999%, that say there is not a conflict between being in faith and using means that you've developed. You know, you can wash your food, use germ killers on your vegetables, you can take antibiotics, you can have operations. I don't see that as a problem. But anyway, Freeman did, and it bore some bad fruit. So one of the things that we, as we look at trajectories, we want to bear good fruit. We want our life to be a bright spot so that we can have good fruit. Oral Roberts, a man of controversy from time to time, but he did, even though he was a health he had a faith healing ministry. He went and built a hospital. And I think his building a hospital had good fruit. Now, it didn't solve all of his problems, and his family had some tragedies within his family. Not just one, several. But he went and built a hospital. We'll come a little closer to home. Jack Hayford. There is a man. I'm from Southern California, so he affected, as you know, within some of the Jesus movement and some of the churches and groups that were growing in the early 70s. Jack Hayford was a speaker that would sometimes come around, and so we had contact, and I knew Jack back in the 70s. And he's walked the walk. He's fought the faith. He's young. I believe he would be about, let's see, he was born in 34. So that would put him at about 79. Wow. Okay. 78, 79. Pastor of Church on the Way. They founded King's College, now King's University, president of Foursquare. And to me, he's sort of a sterling figure within the charismatic movement. We have local people here, you know. Some of you knew Bob Lindsay, Robert Lindsay. Who here knew Robert Lindsay? Maybe half the people. Well, that's a start. Robert Lindsay has run the race. He's fought the good fight. By the way, he fought the good fight. Within Christian circles, that is always a metaphor. I say that because there are people today that try, now everything has to be equal. So if Muslims fight the fight literally, then Christians have a phrase, fight the fight, so obviously they're the same. Not. You know, fight the fight is only a metaphor. There was no first century sweep of the Middle East with hordes of armies. That's not Christian. Okay? Robert Lindsay fought the fight. He's part of that cloud of witnesses. And some of us are maybe getting closer to joining that crowd. I see a mixed age out there. David, myself, Chuck, I can name us because we're older, but hey, Gary and Keith, this is not a generational thing. We're all in the same boat. We're all walking the walk. We all will have a trajectory, a testimony to pass on to the next generation. And so now I come back full circle, and I remember in one of these Bible studies 40-some years ago, Chuck had been asked to do something. He was going to be interviewed on television, or somebody had asked him to speak someplace. I'm pretty sure that was it. They had asked him to speak someplace, and they said, "What should we put on the byline?" Because when you invite a speaker in, you want to make him sound great. And Chuck was sharing with us. He said, "Well, they asked me, what should they put on the byline, you know, pastor of Calvary Chapel, leader of the church that's, you know, part of the Jesus movement?" None of that. He didn't even mention those possibilities. He said, the answer was clear. It was simple. He said, "Servant of the Lord, Chuck Smith, servant of the Lord." And that's all of our calling. We're to be servants of the Lord. Our greatness will be a trajectory where we have been fighting for goodness as a metaphor. We have been serving the Lord in love through serving other people. We have something better. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We have the resurrection, and we ourselves are going to join a cloud of witnesses. So I would encourage myself, and I would encourage all of us to stay the course. Recognize that we have a whole trajectory, and how we begin and how we walk and how we end, this is the legacy that we are going to pass on. So let's shine for the Lord. And well, I'll say a prayer and then we'll sing a song. Lord, we thank you for the lives of those who have gone before that encourage us and that warn us to live for you, not to be distracted from walking straight for you, recognizing that our ultimate joy and life comes in obedience to you, in service to you. It's not the great things we do. It's simply being attached to you. Lord, strengthen us, lead us, guide us to be your witnesses. And we pray in Jesus' name and say, Amen.